It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to another edition. This is episode 56 of Cabali and Mac. Follow us at Cabali and Mac on X, where we stream live every single time we do a show, on Instagram, on Facebook, TikTok, where maybe someday we'll get Kaboom to do a dance. I don't know, but clips of the shows are there anyway. And of course, on YouTube, where we are now up, at least as of a few minutes ago, to 1,465 fantastic subscribers. Thank you to all of you. That means, yep, do the math in your head, 35 away from giving away the beautiful autographed Pat Freiermuth helmet, thanks to our good friends at First and Goal Sports, who, by the way, have already lined up another fantastic giveaway for whenever we, I mean, we're all over it. He is.
This, you know what? You know what, Mac? This one's going to go quick. The upcoming one. We'll give you a hint. You better jump on it quickly because it might not be
all right. That's enough.
In a couple years.
Stop. You're going to give it away. Don't do it. He's veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali. Holy moly, it's Mark Cabali, however you want to say it. We are here for you a couple times a week. And what's amazing is, and I got to thank everybody, I mentioned the 1,465 subscribers. We have done all of this without a single snap of football, at least Steelers football, being played. We started this thing 2 days after the Steelers got steamrolled by the Ravens in the playoffs, and yet here we are. Thanks to all of you. Seriously, a genuine thank you, especially to our presenting sponsors, the Dan Heck Team. They are fantastic. They have supported us the whole way through. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com, the key to your next door. You're buying or selling a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to get a hold of. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to help you right now, and we appreciate their support of the show here on Cabali and Mac. And thanks again to our good friend Mason Rudolph, who still technically currently is QB1, Kaboom. Great reaction to his interview the other day so far. They ran it on parts of it on KDKA Channel 2 here in Pittsburgh. Our boy Richie Walsh used it in one of his sportscasts. The PM team, our friends Pony and Muller on The Fan, we're talking about it a bit yesterday afternoon as well. And you may see it on ESPN later this afternoon as well. NFL Live may use some of those clips as well, especially the one where Mason talked about the possibility of working with Aaron Rodgers in the future. But I'll be honest, I shouldn't say I'm surprised. Well, I'm not shocked. Mildly surprised at the overwhelmingly positive reaction to Mason and the interview. All the comments that I've seen, I'd say 95% of the comments, whether it's on social media, on the YouTube channel, are all behind Mason, to the extent where it's like, hey, Mace, go take the job, buddy. Make it yours. Now, again, Aaron Rodgers could be here in a couple of days, in a couple of weeks. And that, as Mason pointed out, will completely change the dynamic. But a lot of people, and you brought this up when we talked to Mason, if you didn't watch it yet, go back. It's on the YouTube page, obviously. A lot of people in Steelers Nation are now fully behind Mason Rudolph, which it felt like they never really quite were when he was here, right up until the very bitter end anyway.
You know, I think what we're seeing here is the fan base can now relate to him. I mean, they know what he's had to put up with. They know the Myles Garrett stuff he had to put up with. They know the fair chance that he may or may not have gotten, yet he didn't take his ball and say, I want to be traded to Philadelphia. He persevered through it, and I think this fan base really, really appreciates that. And I think that's the main reason why right now why you got so much support for him, because they see a guy who has not given up, a guy who is – like I said, you can relate to him. You know, maybe you don't want to go to work every single day and do your same 9-to-5 job because you're getting screwed, but you keep showing up because you got to. And I think that's part of the reason why people want to see him have a shot.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we all, regardless of what walk of life we're in, like you said, you know, we got somebody who maybe we feel like didn't give us a fair shot or we didn't get a fair opportunity. And we could just sit there and bitch and moan and whine about it constantly, or we could just be good soldiers, keep our heads up and go to work every single day. And he's been that guy, whether it was the year down in Nashville or his entire time in Pittsburgh. He's kept his head up and just kept plugging away, even when Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky were playing ahead of him.
Yeah, you know, I don't even want to rip on Kenny here, so don't take it this way. But when Kenny asked for the trade or ever how that went down and he left, I said immediately he will always be remembered, not for the stuff he pit, maybe a little bit what he did at Pitt with the Pitt fans, but his time here as a guy that took his ball and went home and said, no, I don't want to fight. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's how he's going to be viewed. Mason's not like that. Mason was a guy that could have got away with that and said, forget about it. You know, you keep giving me you're not giving me any opportunities whatsoever. I'm here for the long haul. I'm going to try to make this work. I honestly believe that's why people like him right now, because he persevered. I mean, maybe he's not the best quarterback out there. Maybe he'll fail this year if he gets an opportunity, but the opportunity is the key. All you want is a chance to show what you got, right?
Yeah. And
I mean, in all walks of life. And I think people can really relate and appreciate that.
And I do think it's somewhat unfair that the limited sample size that we have to judge him on as a Steelers quarterback is with Matt Canada and Randy Fichtner as the leaders of the offense, right? Like, I don't want to relitigate the whole Canada-Fichtner offense of the last few years of Ben and the beginning of the post-Ben era, but we know those offenses were limited in what they could do. And so the quarterbacks, regardless of whether you're talking about Rudolph, Pickett, Trubisky, we're all working under some pretty limited constraints, I think. The offensive line was going through transition the entire time those guys were playing quarterback. I was very vocal about the fact that I didn't think Kenny was the dude, but I was always willing to grant him a little bit of grace, and Trubisky and Mason, obviously, for the fact that those were not the best offenses they were working in, nor the best offensive lines to work behind. But it feels like they're wrapping up the transition on the offensive line. We've talked about it plenty about, you know, what we need to see from Broderick Jones and Faltanu now healthy and all that stuff. But it feels like they've pushed beyond that transition period on the O-line, even if some people don't want to give them credit for that. Feels like the Weidel plan is starting to fall into place along the offensive line. And I'm curious to see if Mason gets any significant amount of time during the regular season, if it looks appreciably different from what we saw under those two coordinators.
The thing is, I don't think much is going to change because, you know, Rodgers is going to come here, right? Mm. And all of a sudden he's going to be pushed to number two, and we're going to hear game after game after game, Mason should be out there, and it's going to be tough to get Mason on the field barring an injury because, as he's told us, you know, compensation really dictates where you fall in the old pecking order here. And, you know,
it's realistic to believe, though, that, like, Rodgers, 42 years old, is not going to start all 17 games.
Oh, absolutely. However, I don't think he's missed a game. I mean, he's been pretty durable over his career, Rodgers. I mean, other than five, obviously, the Achilles. But what are you going to do there when it pops, it pops? But he played all 17 games last year, so there's no guarantee behind that as well. So
I just find it silly. And look, people have their opinions about PFF, and PFF rankings are what they are. We can debate whether they mean anything or not. I think there's some value in some of their analysis. Okay. I'm not going to say PFF out and out sucks top to bottom all the way across the board. I'm not. I think there's some value.
Yeah.
But I do think that they have starting quarterback rankings that they put out the other day, PFF. They have Mason ranked 31st out of 32 starting quarterbacks. The only guy they have behind him is Tyler Shuck. They have Anthony Richardson ahead of him. They got Joe Flacco ahead of him. They got Fields and Wilson and Darnold all ahead of them. They got Cam friggin' Ward ahead of them. Yeah. I mean, Cam Ward splitting snaps with Will Levis right now to start down in Tennessee. So we'll see how that goes. I guess my point is, you're right. He's not the kind of quarterback that will drag you kicking and screaming to a Super Bowl win if all else is going wrong. But if everything is working the way it should, Mason is the kind of guy who, like I always say about quarterbacks as they get older, they have a little lightning left to pull out of their arse from time to time. Ben did it at the end of his career. Rodgers still has it, I think, from time to time. Mason, he's not at the end of his career, but he pulls some of that lightning out of his arse from time to time. He's got a huge arm, and if he got DK Metcalf as a part of the offense, I think there's reason to believe that he can come up with those plays when you need him to.
I thought you were going to say he had a huge ass there for a second.
I've never checked out Mason's ass.
You said arse, and like then you said he has a huge, and I'm thinking, oh, no, he's going to say he has a huge ass. No. Like, what are we doing here?
I've never checked out Mason's caboose. I haven't.
He's never going to come on the program again if you're looking at his ass.
Credit to Mason, too, for I think people saw a decent bit of his personality in talking with us. Like, he tried to keep it right down the middle when asked about Rodgers and the quarterback situation and what Omar told him about the job coming in. But maybe it's just because he knows you really well. He knows me a tiny bit. Obviously not as well as he knows you, the years you've spent covering the team, but he was willing to chop it up and bust your balls a little bit, including making fun of you.
Another thing is, what is he, 8-4 career, 8-4-1 career record with the Steelers? I mean, until he gets that full 17-game schedule or in the season under his belt, you're never going to know what he really can do or not.
Which might never happen, right?
Yeah, it might not.
Got a 2-year deal here, presumably is going to be number two behind Rodgers this year. And next year, who knows what the quarterback situation looks like. But maybe if Rodgers were to depart after 1 year, it's Mason and Howard and another young quarterback. And maybe Mason is a stopgap starter for a year as they bring those youngsters along and get an idea of what they look like. But I don't know if he's ever going to get a full 17-game season from a team with the idea of let's see if he can be the dude long-term. Might not be fair. The beginning of his career might not have been totally fair, but you know what? It is what it is. And like you said at the beginning, he's made the most of it and hasn't bashed anybody, hasn't had a negative word to say about anybody or his experiences. He's just kind of taken the whole thing on as well as anybody could be expected to.
I'm sure he tells his friends something different, though.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe sure he bitches, about how, maybe he bitches about how he didn't have a quarterback coach his first year. And
He did mention something about that in slight.
Yeah, he kind of slid it in there.
He slid in there.
Maybe he bitches to his friends.
Big slide.
Yeah, maybe he bitches about how, Ben wasn't necessarily the most helpful guy.
Speaking of that, did you see him?
Oh, talking up Will Howard.
Not only that, he said if Aaron Rodgers is here, they can win 11 or 12 games. And if Mason's here, maybe they're going to lose. They have a losing season and win 7. Jeez. Wow.
Well, Ben, look, all due respect to Ben, he's always had a chip on his shoulder about Mason. He always has. Since the day Mason was drafted, he felt like Mason was coming for his job, which at the time was probably the thinking, right? Like, here's our quarterback of the future. Ben doesn't have much left in the tank. But then Ben hung on and hung on and hung on. And he's always been, I'll just put it out there flatly. The way he's always been threatened by the idea of an NFL capable quarterback.
Maybe he should thank Mason for giving him that second or third part of his career where he had the motivation of, hey, I don't want to turn into Brett Favre. By the way, did you watch that documentary?
I haven't yet. Is it good?
Brett Favre didn't talk. It's everything you know. There's not much. It's basically Brett Favre's a piece of shit. That should have been the name of the documentary. It was quite one-sided, put it that way.
Well, yeah, I'm behind on some of those. Like, I need to watch the Connor Stallions one. The Favre one looks like it's got a lot of potential, but could just be, I don't want to call it a hit job because Brett Favre was a piece of shit, it seems like, from all the reporting that's been done on it. Coming after Pat. But, hey, you know, it,
by the way, that's a very Yinzer hat you have on there.
You like that? You like my Pittsburgh
hat? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Miller Lite logos underneath. It's very Yinzer.
I got it for free down at McFadden's one day when we went down there for a Pirates game a couple years ago. And I love the Script Pittsburgh so much that I don't care about the Miller Lite logos all over it.
I didn't even know that was Miller Lite. I always made fun of Yoey because he had a panel hat. It was like one panel yellow, one panel black, one panel white. I called it the Yinzer Yoey hat. And I think he's since lost.
I'm sorry. This from the guy who steals his kids' youth baseball hats to wear.
You're seven, baby. there's a reason why I'll wear this today, but we'll keep it at that. The Thomas Jefferson action, baby.
I know. Playoff game, right?
They lost, so they're out.
I know, but they fought the good fight, both the baseball and softball
team. Cheated!
Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens. Your yard may be it may be a pond right now, all the rain we've gotten in the last day or two. But you want to worry less about taking care of your yard and think more about enjoying your yard all the time. SouthwestGreensPA.com is where you go. Tell Jake that we sent you. They'll come on out and tell you exactly what they can do for your yard by laying down a beautiful artificial lawn that looks and feels real. The kids will be out there playing on it. The pets can use it. And you don't have to worry about it. It cleans up just like regular grass, except you don't have to mow it. You don't have to spray fertilizer on it. You ain't got to do none of that. You're not watering it to death in the dead of summer when it's not raining for a month at a time. SouthwestGreensPA.com. The best looking lawn in the neighborhood. We guarantee it. With the least amount of maintenance. Again, tell Jake at SouthwestGreensPA.com that Kabali and Mac sent you. So we will talk to Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast in a couple minutes. He's going to pop on and just give us his thoughts on Rodgers, the offseason for the Steelers, and a whole bunch of stuff. We just wanted to have another football guy, another guy on to talk ball for a little bit. But there is stuff happening. Owners meetings in Minneapolis. We touched on this the other day. You called it the other day. You said the tush push was definitely going to get banned, and it seems like they have the votes to get it banned now.
I like how Detroit all of a sudden, pulled it. Yeah, because you were going to lose. That's why you pulled it off the table.
Yeah, so what Kaboom's talking about, for those not in the know, the Lions had proposed not necessarily guaranteeing all division winners a home playoff game. That if a wild card team had a better record than a division winner, they would be seeded higher than that division winner. So you wouldn't get a 9-8 team as a division champ hosting maybe a 12-5 team as a wild card in a playoff game. It'd probably be flipped around. You'd have some division winners who'd be 5-6, maybe even 7 seeds. I think that's stupid. I'm glad they pulled it. The NFL is built around these divisions and the way each of them has, especially the AFC North, sort of their own personality, right? I can't imagine the Steelers were a fan of that, or anybody in the AFC North for that matter, or just anybody who wants to see those division championships continue to hold some significant meaning.
I mean, not even division. You're giving the – there's a reason why teams like – who was it last year? Not Detroit. Yeah, Detroit, what were they, 14-2? Whatever they were, 14-3. There's a reason why they're 14-3. They're a good team. They don't need any more help of being reseeded against the lowest seeds every single time out. You know, if you're 14-3, you should be able to beat the Atlanta Falcons in your first round matchup, you know?
So yeah, you should be, whether you're on the road or not.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was a stupid idea. I'm glad it's not even going to get voted on at this point. The Lions have pulled that proposal. The tush push will get banned. Again, we talked about it the other day before Mason jumped on. I think it's a stupid thing to eliminate one single kind of play. But what are you going to do? It is what it is. And we probably won't see it going forward. No more tush push, which doesn't help the Eagles at all. But I think the Eagles will be fine.
If we only had an Eagles guy on to ask about it.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Ross Tucker in about 10 minutes, who does their games on WIP in Philly. And does their preseason games as well on TV. be good to talk to him. A why a missing guy. He's not a Philly guy necessarily. He's a why a missing guy. It's very different. People in the eastern half of the Commonwealth know the difference.
It's sort of like instead of going to Brashear, you're going to Upper St. Clair, right?
It's a little farther than that. I think it's more like, you can call it like, why a missing is probably like the Penn Trafford of Philly. Is that a good comparison geographically?
Well, it can't be Baldwin because then you wouldn't win any football games.
Son of a bitch. You got to do that?
At least you guys got back on a winning note in basketball. Oh, shoot, you guys lost in the first round of basketball, too.
You act like I still live there and pay taxes there. I don't. I've been fully converted over to TJ, my friend. I support Baldwin, except it's like that old thing, and people don't believe me when I say I support WVU and Pitt until they play Penn State, but I do. I'm a Penn State guy, but I like to see Pitt and WVU. Hey,
you're very close to the Ringgold border, so you might be a Ram.
No, I am not. Thank you very much. I'm Allegheny.
You could be a Finleyville. I don't even know what their names are.
I don't know.
I like driving through Denora. I was through Denora a couple last week.
Did you just take scenic drives around the Mon Valley?
I had to go to a funeral in it was Mon Valley Cemetery, so I drove past Denora. So Stan Musial.
Oh, that's right. Stan the man.
Ken Griffey.
Ken Griffey Jr.
I don't think Jr. was born there. I don't believe he was. I think he was born in Cincinnati, but the old man was.
Yeah. So, no, I thought Jr. was born there, wasn't he?
I thought he was, but I don't think he was.
Like, he doesn't bear any great connection to Denora, other than the fact that, yeah, his old man.
Probably one of, you know what, I mean, just off the subject real quick, maybe the best, cleanest hitter has ever played the game.
Smoothest swing.
No, I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. You're
right?
Talking
who? About, I mean, who else?
I mean, yeah. I mean, what would Griffey have done with roids?
The clear
and the cream. Don't forget, you need both of them. So the tush push is going to be banned. That vote will happen. I mean, it hasn't officially been banned as we're speaking here right now, but it'll happen today before a lot of people get a chance to view this if they're not watching live. And then the proposal to allow NFL players to play flag football at the Olympics is going to be approved, which it's not going to happen until 2028. We're 3 years away, but you still have players being asked about it already. Obviously, Justin Jefferson said, yeah, that's a cool idea, but you're only going to be allowed to have one player from each NFL team on each country's roster. There's only going to be 10 players on each country's roster. I don't know if there would be a possible stealer on the roster. Maybe a DK Metcalf. He'll still be here in 3 years, right?
He'll be in his 30s then. Probably not.
Yeah, maybe not. But I don't know. DK Metcalf is the only guy on this roster I could see maybe being a flag football participant if it were happening like this summer.
Oh, this summer, yeah. Hard to read.
I'm not trying to predict what's going to happen in 3 years.
3 years from now, Caleb Johnson could be the next Saquon Barkley, right?
We don't know. That's the beauty of – that's why they play the games.
I don't think quarterback can run either.
If he gets rushed, I think the quarterback can take off.
So I guess when he breaks the line, Jackson would
really I've work. Tried to figure out the rules to flag football while my kid played the last couple summers. You try and figure out flag football watching a bunch of 10 and 11 year olds.
No, it's easy. My kid sits, plays center or stands on the sideline.
Ouch.
What do you call that? Daddy ball? Is that what they call it?
Oh, wow. There's been a lot of talk about daddy ball in Pittsburgh sports recently. I'm sure people want to hear about our kids' youth teams. So you did bring up baseball, though, because you brought up Griffey. You saw the Pirates won a game last night. 1-0, but they won.
How about that?
How about it, baby?
You know, it's what I think of when I watch the Pirates. I don't watch and see, you know, who does what. And I just watch and see Bailey falter and come to my – and try to rack my brain if any other starting pitcher in Major League Baseball has a single-digit number. That's where my mind goes.
That makes sense. It's few and far between.
It's very awkward to see a single-digit number pitching. I'm like, whoa, what?
What's going on here? Didn't he have to give up?
I'm sure there are some, but
didn't he give up his original number when someone else got called up? I don't know. I can't keep track. But you bust Brownie's balls all the time, Greg Brown, and all the Pirates.
I honestly thought they won the World Series last night, but go ahead.
He had a really great pull of a number. If you take away
all the games where they lose, of course they'd be undefeated.
I know how you feel about cherry picking stats, but if you take away the two bad starts Bailey Falter has had this year, and they were against two really good teams, the Yankees and the Dodgers, for God's sake, he'd have a sub-2 ERA.
Yay.
That'll so good starting pitching. They just can't hit the ball for shit.
Wow. Imagine if they actually went out and did. You see Robbie Tellez has about 8-9 home runs in Seattle.
I know. That's brutal.
So Seattle? Yeah.
In Seattle. Yeah, everybody's hit the ball in Seattle this year, which was another unexpected thing. They did end up charging the guy who bought the beer for the kid who fell out of the stands over the wall. Did you see that?
They know he only got him 2 beer.
Well, I think that's all they can prove by looking at the cameras, is what they're saying. That's the report I read. There was a camera that saw him buy 2 beers, and then a moment later, he and his buddy, the one who fell over the wall, each had a beer. So it's kind of laid out pretty cleanly there that he bought the beer for the guy.
What is the charges here? Just underage?
Furnishing alcohol to a minor.
It's nothing to do with him getting injured, would it be?
No, it's just the fact that he bought beer and gave it to someone underage.
Well, if you bought somebody a beer and he drove and, you know, had a DUI or hurt somebody, then he could be charged with something else. I'm just saying, I don't know. Can you be charged with something else?
I don't know. I'm
endangering the life of a minor. I don't know.
Do I look like Perry Calder Law here? Do I look like I have any idea what's going on?
Dog law.
I have no idea. So, but I thought it was interesting that finally happened. And one more thing I wanted to bring up before we get Ross Tucker on here in a few minutes. Did you see Kenny Pickett? I take everything the wonderful Mary Kay Cabot in Cleveland reports with a little grain of salt. But she's reporting that Kenny is the front runner to be QB1 in Cleveland.
Okay.
You're okay with that?
So does he have pole position?
Pole position, yeah. I think that's the phrase we use. Kenny Pickett in pole position for the Cleve Brownies.
I mean, honestly, he might be. But, I mean, how the hell do we know it's May 21st?
Yeah, I don't think he's taken a practice snap yet, has he? I mean, they were running full seven on seven, though, at the rookie minicamp to get Shador and Dylan Gabriel.
It makes sense. You think about it. He's 20th overall pick. He's, what, 27, 28? He's the only one that really looks like he – the other two young guys, obviously, never taken a snap, and then you got the 50-year-old. So, of course, he should be given every opportunity to win that job. He should be in pole position, right? I think he should be.
Yeah, I guess Flacco's there as the number two in case everything goes up in flames.
In case? You mean when? It's the Browns.
You said you weren't going to crush
Kenny.
Well,
it's not Kenny. It's the Browns. I feel bad for Kenny because he goes into the Browns.
Man. The Browns.
You know what? People like to really, really harp on the Steelers and being a terrible team and a terrible run team and no quarterback. What in the hell is going on in Cincinnati? I mean, their first-round pick doesn't even want to play. Their MVP doesn't even want to play and comes to practice just to rip on the organization. What the hell is going on there?
Well, it sounds like they haven't been great to Trey in those negotiations. So I can't blame him if he's got a problem with the way.
Cleveland has problems. Cincinnati has problems. I'm sure Baltimore has some problems as well.
I don't know. They seem pretty buttoned up down there.
But nobody has Aaron Rodgers waiting in the wings, so it's low-hanging fruit.
Yes, exactly. Thanks as well to Nail Studio 2 in McMurray and Peters Township, right there at Donaldson's Crossroads. Look, Mother's Day is in the rearview mirror, but if you're like me, you got a teenage daughter who went and got her nails done yesterday, getting ready for the prom.
It's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, prom tomorrow night for the DJ kids. We got you got graduations coming up. Maybe you're like Kaboom and you just like to take care of the dogs. Make sure they don't bark too loud. Go get a pedicure. No man.
Father's Day is coming up. Come on.
Yeah. No man is above a pedicure. Get a hold of them. Nail Studio 2. That's a Roman numeral 2. Nailstudio2.com. Give them a call at 724-941-4595. Like I said, right out there in Donaldson's Crossroads. Perfect for everybody in the South Hills. And if you know somebody that does nails and does them really well, they are looking to hire a couple extra ones with all the business coming in. Call them today. Say hi to Vinny at 724-941-4595. It is a perfect time to have this guy on with us. Absolutely perfect time to have Ross Tucker with us. Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which you can find on your socials at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, thanks for making the time today, man. It's an all PA show today. How about that?
You know what? I didn't realize. Are you guys both Thomas Jefferson guys?
We both live there. I went to Baldwin. As Kabali pointed out right before you jumped on, we had zero football success at Baldwin. and I married up into a TJ family. So I am here now.
So this is funny, okay? Because I'm actually going to get to this. But my alma mater, Wyomissing.
Uh-huh.
We lost the district championship for the first time since 2018 because they moved us. They made us move up to 4A like Aliquippa.
Yeah.
Because we kept going to the state semifinals or state championship, and we had a couple transfers who, by the way, didn't even play. They just transferred into the school district because it's a good school district. So anyway, this year, we lost. We blew it at the end of the game against Lampeter Stroudsburg. Otherwise, we would have played you guys in the state semifinals. It would have been Wyomissing, which is myself, Anzalone for the Lions.
Yep.
Taylor Swift, you might have heard of her. It would have been us against Thomas Jefferson. And I was shocked you guys lost to Lampeter Stroudsburg. Yeah. Shocked by that.
They got whipped.
I mean, they had a good quarterback, and they beat Wyomissing, but I just thought you guys would just run them over, and I guess it didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, Chirpak failed. You never see that very much, right?
No, the legend of Bill Chirpak will live on.
Yeah, always. But you know what? They got absolutely whipped in that game, so I don't know if you guys would have done much better against – either one of those teams. Because
the Philly Catholic school in the state championship. I don't even know which one it was, but they killed them. It's like,
yeah,
that's a whole other subject.
That's
don't
a whole
get me started.
We could spend an entire show just talking PIAA politics and high school football, high school athletics realignment, but we're not going to do it. Because people came here to talk NFL. We got Ross Tucker on the show.
Let's get one high school question.
Okay, fine.
Ross, the best high school player you ever saw in person with your eyes from the state of Pennsylvania or the Commonwealth?
I know where this is going.
No, not even the state. I've done the U.S. Army Bowl like six times. By far, the best high school football player I've ever seen is Terrell Pryor. It's not even close. It's not even debatable. It was absurd. I saw him multiple times. He was like 6'6", 230, 235. I had Power 4 coaches tell me that they would have offered him a scholarship at every position other than O-line. So he said he was a receiver, scholarship receiver. Tight end, yep. Running back, yep. Quarterback, yep. D-end, linebacker, safety, corner. I don't know about D-tackle, but he probably could have put the weight on and been a D-tackle. It was hilarious. I'll never get over the touchdown at the end of the first half his senior year when there's only 3 seconds left. So they bring in the backup quarterback or whatever and put Terrell at receiver. Literally everybody in the galaxy knew what was about to happen, and they threw it to him anyway. And then these three kids from Dunmore, which is up in like Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, that's where Vic Fangio went, by the way. I could do this all day. I love Pennsylvania football. And, like, they're all, like it was, like, little kids hanging on Pryor's arm. It actually makes me a little bit sad that he didn't make more money playing football or, you know, didn't have a better career. just because he wasn't quite a quarterback, wasn't quite a receiver. I heard you guys talking about the Browns. Didn't he have like 1,000 yards with the Browns as a receiver 1 year?
You don't see that much, Ross. You don't see that much at all. I don't think he gets enough credit for making that transition at the pro level from quarterback and what he did in Cleveland.
And think about now how much money he would have made as a college quarterback.
If prior,
like he's the guy that should sue for them not having NIL. He got suspended for getting tattoos. These guys get $4 million that aren't as good as him.
I know. If he comes along 15 or 20 years later, it completely changes the course of his life. Forget career.
Do you guys know where he lives or what he's doing now?
No, I don't. Do you?
I think he is around town. I think he's either in Jeanette, West Mifflin. He's not far from where we're at now. I haven't seen and heard from him for a while, though. So maybe he's just laying low.
Dig up your contacts, Kaboom. Get to work. Get him on the show.
I would love to talk to him.
I probably do have his number somewhere.
I did want to ask you, Ross, Father's Day. We were talking about Mother's Day being in the rearview mirror. Father's Day, like 3 weeks away. Tell us about frontpagestory.com and why it's the best possible Father's Day gift.
Yeah, it's myfrontpagestory.com.
Thank you.
And Mark's going to love this because he's a writer. Maybe we can hire Mark to do some of our writing. Check this out. We got this for my wife's grandma, okay? You talk to a writer like Mark. Maybe we can even get Mark to write it for you. Tell him how amazing your dad is or your grandpa or really anybody. Today's my 20th wedding anniversary, so maybe it's for your anniversary, okay? You talk to them. They write this incredible story. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper, framed, beautiful. You can have pictures of your mom or your wife or whoever and the kids. I'm just telling you guys, I don't know. First of all, everybody's dad loves the paper, okay? True. But nobody's ever been on, like, actually had a story about them in the paper. So they would love that. Secondly, I almost have never seen a mom or a wife get one of these and not cry. There's something about, just make sure you say, I never thank her enough for all the little things she does for me. Even if you can't think of anything, just say that. And they cry every time. Myfrontpagestory.com. Go today, though, so you get the 20% discount before you go to the nail salon at whatever's crossing.
There you go. Nailed it. Myfrontpagestory.com for Father.
Great idea, considering that, you know, you don't see the newspaper much anymore, right? So,
and here's the thing, literally, Mark, my mission is for every grandma and grandpa to get one of these before they die because they all love the newspaper. They've never had a story written about them. Like, we literally got that because she was moving into a senior care community or whatever they call them. And she had it up on the wall and would read it every day. So anyway, myfrontpagestory.com. You guys better ask me about Aaron Rodgers and you better ask me about Max Hurlman.
We're going to. Let's start with Rodgers. What's your take on this? I know there are people out there that think it's ridiculous. We have talked a lot about how it seems pretty clear now that he doesn't want to do OTAs, right? At the bare minimum, he doesn't want to do OTAs. So it feels to us like there's probably some handshake agreement. Hey, we'll get all this ink on paper and come in when things become mandatory. Whether that's mandatory mini camp here in the second week of June or when training camp actually gets started up at St. Vincent College in Latrobe at the end of July. But what's your take on Rodgers still not coming to an agreement with the Steelers? And when, and Kabali always says when, not if it happens, what he adds to the Steelers?
Let me ask you guys a question. I just want to make sure I have this right. The pecking order, okay, was they wanted Stafford. Didn't happen. I know they tried to bring Fields back, and I thought I heard they had interest in Darnold. On the pecking order, Mark, do you know if number two was Darnold or Fields, what order those two guys were in?
I actually think Fields was one. I think they inquired about Stafford, but it was like too much of that. So they moved off of that pretty quickly. I think the same happened with Darnold. I don't think Fields wanted to come back. I see what you're getting at here.
Rodgers is their fourth option. Like fourth. Can you imagine how humbling that is for Rodgers that you know that the team that you're going to sign with tried to get Justin Fields and Sam Darnold first over? I mean, the guy's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That has to be very humbling. I would just say this. I understand anybody making the argument he's the best option they have to win games this year. And if you just want to go that way with it, you can. What I have a major problem with is I don't think he really, really wants to play, right? And even if he wants to play, winning is not a priority for him. Or in my mind, I would say not enough of a priority. It's a new system, new teammates. He clearly wants to miss as much of the offseason program as he wants. I got no problem with that. He's made a crazy amount of money. Do what you want. Aaron, maybe I would do the same thing. But just don't tell me you're really trying to win this year. Like, don't tell me that it's really important to you to try to win playoff games for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because if it was, you'd be there with your new teammates and learning Arthur Smith's offense. You know, I always tell the story. I do a lot of speaking engagements, right? Brady, when I was in New England, okay, 05, I remember 06 OTAs, and he was younger, whatever. That guy was obsessed with getting every rep he possibly could. Like, he would not let people take his reps. He didn't want to miss anything. He would, like, he loved and was obsessed with the opportunity to do everything a little bit better. 18 years of football, I never had a quarterback that cared that much about my snap to them. Like, I just, Rodgers, he strikes me as a guy that wants to kind of have his cake and eat it too, right? He wants to be able to have a good season and not go out like he did last year with the Jets and still be relevant and be the quarterback of the Steelers, but he doesn't really want to put the work in. And I have a problem with that. I really do. I, you know, if he really cared that much, he would have signed already. He'd be there right now.
So you don't think his legacy of the past 2 years, totally getting hurt, obviously 2 years ago, and last year being a 5-12 team, that's not motivating to him or to you? It's more like, I want to show everybody what I can do, the heck with it, they win or not. If I come out here looking better, that's what I want.
No, I think he wants to win. I think he wants to play well. I would just argue it's not important enough to him, right? Like, if it was important enough to him, he would be in Pittsburgh right now. He would be with those guys trying to get them to have a successful year, trying to get as much time in with those receivers and O-line as possible, to know Arthur Smith's offense as intimately as possible. Listen, he'd rather be in California. You know, he said he's got personal things, family things. That's fine. I would just submit to you, a lot of guys have stuff going on with their families. They're still there. So I think he cares about all that stuff, Mark. He just, to me, doesn't care enough, right? If he cared enough, he would be there. And it just seemed like the Steelers, I mean, what is best case scenario? Absolute best case scenario is that they maybe win a playoff game, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I highly doubt, right? Like, they're not beating the Bills in Buffalo. They're not beating Lamar and the Ravens. They're not beating the Chiefs. So who are they playing in the playoffs where they are even winning that game? It just seems like a lot to accomplish, really not much. So, it seems like a lot of bending and yielding to be in the same place they've been for a while now.
So that's where I think a lot of fans are at too, Ross. I'm glad you phrased it that way, because we had Mason Rudolph on the other day. And the I was saying at the top of the show before you joined us, the reaction to Mason's interview with us has been overwhelmingly positive towards the attitude that he's maintained, both when he was here in Pittsburgh the first time, the year in Nashville, and now back here in Pittsburgh. And the understanding, although he didn't say it explicitly, that if Aaron Rodgers comes in, he'll be the backup to Aaron Rodgers, and that he'll just continue to plug away and do his job. But I think a lot of fans are looking at it and saying, well, Rodgers, to your point, doesn't seem too excited to be here and actually working with the Steelers. Mason says and does all the right things. What is the difference between a team with Mason Rudolph as the starting quarterback and Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback? And I'll admit, there's clearly a difference, right? But I don't know, and I think a lot of fans feel similarly, that it can't be much more than like a win and a half difference between Rodgers at this point in his career and Rudolph.
It's a really good question. I'll just say I recently had Greg Rosenthal, does a nice job for NFL.com on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He said that Aaron Rodgers, in his mind, is about the 24th best quarterback in the NFL. I would think Mason's probably more like 28th, you know, maybe a little bit lower. The Steelers, I think, believe that best case scenario with Mason Rudolph is they make the playoffs and lose. I think with Rodgers, they might think he has just enough magic left that with their culture, with their team, that maybe they could win a game or two. And honestly, even if it's just a game, maybe that's worth it to the organization to stop having people say they haven't won a playoff game since whatever it was, 2016 or whatever year.
Ross, obviously you're well-known in Philadelphia, right? The Philadelphia Eagles, you do some work for them. Do you see, and you look at the Steelers roster, do you see Andy Weidel's fingerprints all over that Steelers roster right now, building out that offensive line the first couple of years, moving on to the defensive line? And is it similar at all to how the Eagles built to where they're at?
Yep, I do Eagles preseason on TV, and I do a bunch of stuff during the season for the team. There's no question that that's what Andy's trying to do. And he's very good at it, by the way. But you look at, I mean, it was a bummer that Fatanu got hurt last year. I love that dude. Like, I mean, watching his college tape, he was slicing and dicing guys. Like, I can't wait to watch him. I actually thought Mason McCormick did some really good things last year as a fourth round pick. That seems like a home run pick. I need to see more from Broderick Jones. He had some very concerning moments last year. Very concerning. I think I don't watch every snap of every Steelers game, but I think he did get better as the season moved along, and maybe being on the left side next to, say, Amalu, maybe he'll be in a better spot. But certainly you can tell what they're doing there. And then on the D-line, I love Benton. Cam's his own animal. He's been there forever. But Harmon, you know, that I think a lot of teams around the NFL have seen what the Eagles have done, and they've decided, you know what, like, that's our best path to success. The reality is you either have an elite – like, there's two ways, I think, to have a chance to go on a playoff run. You either have an elite quarterback, right, like Mahomes or Josh Allen or whoever, or you have top five-ish O-line D-lines and a good enough quarterback, which is where I would put Hurts, by the way. Hurts is not, in my mind, an elite quarterback. So you either have one of those MVP guys, or you have an above-average quarterback, a quarterback that gives you a chance, but you have elite O-line D-line. Obviously, Steelers don't even have an average quarterback right now. So they're trying to go ahead and do it O-line, D-line, which I think is smart. I don't know that they're there yet, but they're at least trying to get to that point where the O-line, D-line can give them a chance to win playoff games.
What'd you think of the Pickens deal?
Well, I mean, first of all, the whole thing where people say the Steelers got fleeced always makes me laugh, okay? Yeah, the Steelers got fleeced. So when you say that, you're saying that the Cowboys got such a good deal and the Steelers are idiots. Okay, let's think about this logically. Do you think the Steelers only talked to the Cowboys about this? Do you think that Omar Khan was like, you know what? I don't want to take a chance of trading him. I'm only going to talk to Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. No, they talked to every team about this. This was the best offer they could get. That says a lot about a lot. Eric DaCosta, Baltimore. Not that the Steelers would have done that, but not a dumb guy. Howie Roseman, Philly. Not dumb. Veach with Kansas City. Like, evidently, the Cowboys are the only one that wanted to give up what they gave up for Pickens, probably because the story is out on Pickens, okay? And once the Steelers say, the guy that we've known every day for 3 years, we just want to get rid of this guy, what does that say to everybody else around the NFL? You think about the guys. I mean, I can't even list all of them. Plexico and Santonio Holmes and AB and Martavis Bryant and Claypool and all, like, I mean, once the Steelers are done with you at receiver, that is buyer beware for any other team.
What could possibly go wrong in Dallas with Pickens, Ross? Nothing, right?
Listen, I played for the Cowboys. I know that culture. I can almost guarantee a lot of stuff will go wrong.
Yeah, that could be a beautiful disaster.
And
first
by the
time.
Way, not even the number one receiver. So they're going to throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb 75% of the time. How's he going to react to that?
And then the 25.
I'm going to miss him. He did over the last couple of years, 5 to 10 things on a football field I've never seen a guy do before. Like when he did that one karate kick, like he I don't know if he's intentionally or unintentionally hilarious, but you could do a highlight video of Pickens just being hilarious.
The first time he loses a ball in the sun is it comes through the windows at the far end of the Jerry Dome, he's going to lose his mind, and it's going to be something to watch. We are at that point in the season, Ross, where they got through rookie minicamp. There's a lot of dudes who were fighting for spots. You always watch the dudes, not just in the trenches, but the dudes who are going to make their bones on special teams. And I know there is one guy in particular who's a special teams guy in college. He's going to be a special teams guy if he sticks on Sundays in the NFL, who you absolutely love, who the Steelers actually signed.
Yeah, so his name's Max Herrlemann. I just want you guys to know this story, okay? So that during the – so first of all, Mark can write about him.
On Tuesday.
Whoever he writes for now, McAfee or whoever he writes for.
Whoever pays me there, Ross.
Yeah. Okay, but Mark can write this story during OTAs or training camp because it's unbelievable. So Max went to Wyomissing, my alma mater, okay? We lost to the same team 3 years in a row in the district championship. I'm still bitter about it. 2019, we only had 5 seniors. Max was one of them. And he basically said, it's over. It ends now. Okay. They won the district championship. And then we won whatever it is, 6 or 7 in a row, whatever. That was Max. I helped him get a half scholarship to Colgate. Goes to Colgate. Okay. Earns a full ride. Sophomore and junior year starts at running back. Senior year, they move him to slot receiver. He also, by the way, is the Patriot League Special Teams Player of the Year. Tells me he wants to grad transfer. You know, Richmond, he gets these offers. He's like, no, I already did the FCS thing. Walks on at Notre Dame, okay? He becomes a core special teamer. He becomes their punt returner. And he plays defense for him. He's like a backup corner. So here's what you need to know. I might have texted some people at the Steelers to make sure they were aware of him. They give him a tryout, okay? Max is on tomorrow's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Thursday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I just interviewed him. Every Steelers fan, you have to listen or watch this. The first day he goes out there, Tomlin says, we're going to start you at running back. Are you okay with that? He's like, yeah. What can you imagine if Mac? What did we say? Like, no, Tomlin, I'm not doing that. Like, of course, yes. All right. So a couple of receivers cramped up. They put him at receiver, and he must have killed it. The next day, they have him running back and receiver going back and forth. The end of the second day, Tomlin says, Max, when you get here tomorrow, there will be 2 lockers in your jersey. Bring them both out to practice tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He brings them both out. They have him do individual with the DBs because he was a corner at Notre Dame last year. So doing the backpedal and stuff, he tells me he can see like 8 scouts are watching him. Tomlin's watching him doing the backpedal drills. So he does that. Then the rest of the day, he's running back, receiver. At the end of the day, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He goes up to Omar Khan and Mr. Rooney and just says, thank you guys so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Omar Khan's like, hey, go shower up and come up to my office. We're going to sign you. He was like one of 2 tryout guys. They signed. You guys know these teams bring in like 60 tryout guys and maybe sign 1 or 2. Because if you sign them, you got to cut one of the other kids you already signed. So anyway, I don't even know what number he is. Follow Mark on social media and Mark can write the story you're talking about. But when you're watching preseason games, if he gets in any, or just the training camp story to watch or mini camp story to watch, This dude in one as a tryout guy, okay, 5'11", 200-pound white kid from Wyomissing. They had him playing three different positions, and obviously he's returning punts and stuff. So I don't know. I'm hoping maybe just play every position, give him a decent chance to make the practice squad maybe. I don't know. But that's just a cool story that I think everybody can relate to, because Wyomissing and where I'm from, Reading, it's not that different from Pittsburgh. It's just smaller, but same type of people. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, two things about that is, first of all, I kind of dismissed him when I saw him at rookie minicamp. I'm like, who's the small number 34? I'm like, oh, Notre Dame? Forget that. Moved on. And number two is the only other guy they signed is a trial player was some guy named Trey Lance. So he's in pretty
Trey Sermon.
Oh, Trey Sermon, my fault.
Yeah, yeah. Trey Sermon's like a different animal. He's been in the NFL like 6 years, right? Like,
so what I'm saying is that that's the type of guy. But, man, how didn't you get him to go to Princeton? I thought you'd have some pool there.
Well, Princeton's very, very, very hard to get into academically. Mark, not everybody can be a genius like me, okay? Not everybody's just like a born genius. By the way, we've been killing it. Princeton's been killing it with whippy old kids. We've been getting a ton of kids from like Upper St. Clair, Mount Lebanon. I think we got a Bethel Park kid, maybe. We've been getting a bunch of good kids out there, which I love. Because you know what? Not only is it great football out there, but a lot of those kids have grades. Like our best receiver the last couple of years was a North Hills kid. Is it like Luke Colella, maybe? A Colella kid, I think, from North Allegheny. North Allegheny was our best receiver the last couple of years. So we've done pretty good with Whippio kids. Keep them coming. We'll take them all.
Colella. Luke Colella. I know.
Yeah,
I remember
North Allegheny kid. He's good. Like we had Yossi Vash, the Bengals receiver now, and we lost him and another kid that went to the NFL. So then it was like the last couple of years have been Colella. He's not Yossi Vash, but he's good.
There's a name I cannot pronounce. Wow.
There's a name you can't pronounce any name correctly. What you did to the name of that monster truck driver the other day was borderline. Borderline cancelable.
By the way, I'll see you hopefully if you guys make it, I'll see you guys in the state semifinals this year, hopefully.
We always make it. Come on.
We'll see.
It's given. We'll see. Hey, we've kept you too long already, but we have to ask you before we let you go. Tush Push banned. What's Ross Tucker think of it?
Laughable. I mean, first of all, the key, Hurts is a freak, but Landon Dickerson, this gets to your question mark about what Andy's doing. They're doing a nice job with the O-line, okay? The Eagles dudes are straight monsters. Like, Mailata is 6'8", 380, okay? Landon Dickerson is 6'6", 355. These guys, like, I've been around big people, okay? I started games next to Flozell Adams, the Hotel Adams, Mike Williams in Buffalo. These are not small people. Like, they are movers of men. So the Eagles are still going to be really successful at it regardless. To me, it's just dumb because they really are doing it because they don't like the way it looks and or how much success the Eagles are having with it. I got news for you. If you read the rules, so maybe they'll just still have those two guys there and they'll just push the center and guard forward and then the center follows them. Or they just won't put their hands on Hurts, but it'll be like wedge. But my point is the Eagles are still going to have a ton of success and it still might look bad. It still might not look the way that the NFL wants it to look. Like they might have accomplished, if they ban it like in the next 2 minutes, they might have accomplished nothing that they were trying to accomplish. That's the thing. That's my point.
I haven't had a problem with it the whole time. Like it's, and you can't argue player safety. I don't think, I understand dudes don't love being at the bottom of the pile with 13 people on top of them, but there's no high speed collision. There's no, you know,
I love when they say, Chris, it's not a football play, right? Like having a guy that played high school soccer come onto the field to kick a ball between two balls. That's a football play. That's a football play. The guy that played high school soccer in his bare foot, kicking it between posts. Give me a break.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to get banned. But I think you make a great point.
I mean, still can't get over somebody bigger than Flozo Adams. He was here for a year, and I've never seen a bigger human in my life.
Oh, no, my lot is bigger than Flozo.
It's insane.
Yeah. Flozo wasn't the nicest man in the world, at least us.
No.
Oh, he didn't have time for you. What a surprise.
He was a frightening individual.
Check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on social at Ross Tucker NFL. As he mentioned, Max Herleman going to be his guest. Pittsburgh Steeler Max Herleman going to be his guest tomorrow. So please check it out. And don't forget, Father's Day right around the corner. You want to get dad a gift. You want to get your grandpa a gift. You've got to go to myfrontpagestory.com. Ross gave us a great rundown earlier on why it's the perfect gift for moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, anybody in the family. We appreciate you taking the time this morning, Ross. Thanks.
My pleasure. How do you guys have so many sponsors already? The whole thing at the bottom is just sponsored the whole time. Like, how do you guys get that many sponsors already?
Kabali's a whole lot more popular here than you would think.
Well, if you see how much we get paid for YouTube, it was $2.16. You gotta make it work in some other way.
See you, boys. Keep it rolling.
Right. We'll see you, Ross. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time. Ross Tucker.
He needs to be more excitable.
He's the best. Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Find him on socials, like I said, at Ross Tucker NFL. The Max Herleman interview should be an interesting one now. And you'll have to talk to Max next time you see him there.
He is the tiniest human I've ever seen in my life. That's why I dismissed him. I'm like, this guy's the running, because he was working with the running. You know what? I posted that video of the running backs at rookie minicamp. I bet you he was in there. Look how small he is. He's tiny. But when Ross breaks it down, he's a nine position player, special teams. Of course, if I'd known that. I mean, they don't give us much advance notice of who they're bringing in for tryouts. Then maybe I would have thought differently, but I'm definitely going to keep an eye on him now because seems like an interesting individual.
Why a missing guy?
One negative about him, but
you know what you can't measure? Kaboom. Heart. Can't measure what the kid's got in there. You know what I'm saying?
You sound like Gene Hackman.
I know.
Shane Falco. Heart, miles and miles of heart.
Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC, one of those multitude of sponsors that Ross just alluded to, who are fantastic for supporting us here at Kabali and Mac. You need to get the AC checked out before it warms up, and it's going to warm up. I know the weather sucks right now. If you're waiting for summer to get here, don't worry. It'll be here soon enough, and you're going to want to make sure the AC is running correctly. Get them to come on out and give it a tune-up before the season starts. All that maintenance, you need something replaced, they'll take care of all of it for you. Great. South Hills owned business here in the Pittsburgh area. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or just give them a call at 412-297-1852. Thanks to Impact HVAC. I did want to bring up one question that I saw in the comments from earlier that I think is worth bringing up, because it's fallen to the wayside, off the radar, back burner, whatever you want to call it, as we've dealt with the draft, the Pickens trade. Mason joining us the other day, continued Rodgers talk. It's continues to float out there, and nothing's really been made of it since we got the Instagram post, but it was brought up. Hold on. Where is it? Let me find the right comment here before I throw Brady it up.
That. Come on.
Come on. Daniel, what are you doing?
Daniel Wright at 10:49. That's what you're looking
Daniel
for.
Daniel Wright on YouTube. Before Kabali yells at me about running the technology like he could do it any better. When's TJ getting signed? I haven't heard a peep about it.
You're not going to hear a peep about it right now. They just got done with drafting and their rookie minicamp and getting ready for OTAs. But this is the time right now. They'll probably have some more initial contract talks here. And I wouldn't expect anything until
camp.
Until camp. I mean, look at last time he held in.
Right.
He had 22 sacks. So I think we're okay there. If you get it done on when's the opening day? September 9th?
Do we get another hold in?
Regardless, he's not going to. I mean, they're not going to get many opportunities to even be on the field anyways. I mean,
he doesn't touch the field during preseason. I mean,
what it was, this hold in was a little bit different when TJ did it. He still went through all the individuals, mm-hmm. but once they went to team periods, that's when he shut it down. I mean, so more than three quarters of the practice, he was out there participating.
Do you think there's any chance that something doesn't get done?
No.
Like 0.0% chance that TJ doesn't have an extension by opening day. There's a chance
of Aaron Rodgers not signing here.
Wow.
And I put that at like 99%, so no.
Okay. I wanted to get a percentage.
$40 million, you give him, you know, would it be? Probably 3 years, so they'd probably give him a 2-year extension. They'd probably rip up the deal, give him three for 120, you know.
You think that's his last contract here? That's got to be his last deal, right?
That's what we thought with Hayward, too. Then you start doing maybe one-year deals.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, and see how much he wants to stay around. But there's no doubt. I mean, they got a ton of money. They got $40 million, and they don't even need that money. I mean, to be able to sign people. Plus, they can make more money. Money's not the issue right now. And even if they do, if you look, when's the earliest they're going to have to pay a quarterback? 2030?
Yeah. At this rate, unless they go out and sign a free agent at some point, which does not seem like their MO.
Any quarterback hitting free agency, there's a reason why they're there. They're not a franchise quarterback.
Good point. We would be remiss if we did not mention people of our age. In my opinion, the best sitcom character of all time, maybe, passed away yesterday. George Wendt, Norm Peterson from Cheers. Also, a great turn in Gung Ho, starring Michael Keaton. George Wendt passed away yesterday. I stayed up last night and watched some episodes of Cheers because, in my opinion anyway, it's top two sitcoms all time.
You know, I watched this was years ago, put together every single...
Somebody posted it again yesterday. Yeah, every single Norm and then whatever his opening line would be. Yeah, it's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk bone underwear.
One of my favorite ones. I have a low-key favorite is, I guess he got there before the place were open, and he was sitting on the steps, and Diane and Sam showed up, and they're like, why are you late? You know, well, it's been a tough day, and they walk in, and they're getting ready to open up the bar, and Norm's just standing at the doorway. They look around, and they're like, Diane. And they looked at him, and they looked at Norm and said, Norm. Then he was able to walk to his seat.
My opinion, it's right there with Seinfeld as the best sitcom of all time. And go back and watch it. It holds up. I watched some episodes from season one last night. It holds up, and that's 43 years ago.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in probably 20 years. When did it go off the air? I don't even
95-ish, I think. So there's something about the closing credits music. I'm not going to try to replicate it, but it's the song without words, basically, from the opening credits. They take the words out.
The one time that some guy was sitting in his seat, he goes, nobody was here. He said something like that. He goes, but I was sitting here. He goes, no, you weren't. He goes, yeah, like yesterday,
the day before that.
They pretend like he fainted so he could get his seat. You know, I, in some way, I can really relate to that because basically what I do at the Steelers media room is somebody used to take my seat. You're looking, well, what are you doing? That's my seat.
It's kaboom seat. Get the hell out of the way. there's something about the closing credit music that still, from being a little kid, makes me feel like I have to get up, go brush my teeth, and get ready for bed. Because it used to be over at like 9:30 every single night. When I was a little kid, my mom would be watching Cheers. I'd be sitting there watching it too. And as soon as the closing credit music hit, I was like, oh, crap, it's time to go to bed.
Making a day. Exactly. Everything you got.
We're being told by Justin on YouTube that the Tush Push has survived. Is this true?
Well, Justin's always right.
He usually is, yeah. This is major news. We'll have to dig into it some more, but I'm a big fan if it actually did survive. Yeah, Look at this. The proposal to ban the tush push did not receive enough votes from NFL owners to pass. The tush push lives on.
Somebody must be doing some, what do you call those? Those handshakes with money in it? Here.
Yeah, a little glad handing maybe. That's
I want to know what the vote was.
Well, go do some reporting, okay?
I don't care about it that much.
Great. Mike Logan, former Pittsburgh Steelers defensive back, obviously from the Pittsburgh area, McKeesport Mike. What?
Actually, he went to high school in McKeesport, but he is a West Mifflin guy. He's West Mifflin Mike.
I know, but he went to high school in McKeesport.
Okay? And his kids played on the Woodland Hills 8U baseball team that the Portview Bulldogs whipped last year, but we won't bring that up.
Well, now you have to bring it up.
I saw him last year in the game.
But he's going to join us on Friday, the Friday edition of Cabali and Mac. We got to thank every single one of you for joining us live, or if you're watching this after the fact, we appreciate you doing it. Please support every single one of these fantastic sponsors who are helping support the show and keep this going, especially our presenting sponsor, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We will be back on Friday, one day closer to OTAs kicking off next Tuesday, one day closer maybe to Aaron Rodgers being here, and we'll do it again on Friday here on Cabali and Mac. Thank Yins so very much. We'll talk to you again soon.